Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and praise the Lord. God bless you. Glory be to God in the highest. What a blessing to be here with you once again here on Lisa Marie's Rise, Bubbly, and Brunch. And I tell you what a blessing it is to be here with you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, All Sons and Daughters Day. And I certainly hope that you are enjoying your Sunday. And I'm excited to be back on air with you after the brief sila I had to take. I'm so glad I did so. One thing that's really important to me as a minister of the gospel and ministering the good news of the message of the kingdom of heaven is that I do it having the right spirit. That is so important, doing it in the right spirit and ministering God's word by the Holy Spirit, which has elected me and anointed me to do so. And I am glad I just took the Selah for different reasons, but I'm certainly blessed by the fruit that it is birthed, and I hope that you will be blessed in the coming days as I continue to minister June's offering entitled The Father of the Bride, Vows and Oaths. And I will share some things that I received that was imparted to me as a way, by way of the lamentation that I was in, because that's what it was a lamentation. Any lamentation that God gives us, any burden he gives us, especially in prayer, intercession, will always birth something new. And I will share in the coming days what that has produced by way of my being before the throne of God for our nation, our children, and mankind. and I can say this, that this message today, this declaration today is a part of that.
And I'm really excited to get to it. I have a lot to get to, as I always do. And I'm going to say this at the top of the broadcast. If I don't share everything in this broadcast, there will be a part two, So, again, welcome to Lisa Marie's Roswell and Brunch, a broadcast I created to celebrate Bri's Bubbly, the new wine, and brunch, which is something that I love on Sundays. If I wake up past morning breakfast hours, I usually make brunch, and that's an eclectic mix of both breakfast and lunch. And so that's the foundation of why I created Bri's Bubbly and Brunch. And I also originally included my love of jazz, in Lisa Marie's Bri's Bubbly and Brunch. And I kind of not gone with that part of the birthing. But yeah, jazz was a part of it as well. Because I love jazz. I think jazz is so wonderful on Sundays. I really do. Jazz is really, really relaxing and lighthearted on Sundays, especially smooth jazz and inspirational jazz and all that good stuff. Now, the thing that I am really excited about and coming to you this week with this week's celebration, preparation, shower preparation celebration, is not only celebrating fathers, but celebrating brides, as well as covenants and oaths. And I'm really honored to do that in the newness of life. And I'm really excited to bring this forth by way of the Stars of Heaven Network 9. And I'm always excited to come to you from Stars of Heaven Network 9, because now more than ever, do we need to see the will of God be done here on earth as it is in heaven. The birthing of the Stars of Heaven Network 9 declares just that, that we will be or strive to be in the perfect or acceptable will of God. And that's the whole thing about the birthing of the Stars of Heaven Network, to be aligned, which will put us in harmony with the God of our salvation and also keep us in the rhythm and the flow of our own life. So the birthing of Stars of Heaven 9 is to for us to remember the original plan of God, And, you know, that's the thing that stars do. When the Lord says that we are a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid, we're the salt of the earth. Our purpose as his crown jewels, as the light of the world, is to shine and show forth the original plan of God. He has created for all of us. Amen. All of us. And the will of God is simple. Love the Lord thy God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And the original plan of God is something that at this age and time is really being destroyed, And as I will declare in this message, really being hijacked by demonic surrogates, Now, I really want to lay this foundation before I get into the message, because one of the things he was saying to me and giving me this message was that his purpose for anything that he's created has not changed. The other Lord that God, I've changed not. What God has spoken and instituted through humanity and for the world, and him so loving the world, is for us to coexist in love. Again, God is love. Now, everything that's happening in the earth realm, happening in the world, is nothing new. As the preacher declares in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. The prophetic word of God, which is the word of his prophecy, tells us that the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and truth, and tells us to prepare as well as equips us with all power to defeat that which is contrary to the word of God. So I wanted to say that at the top of this broadcast, that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's happening in the world today, it was prophesied, was spoken by way of Jesus coming and teaching us and showing us the way to heaven. And those of us who are who keep the word of his patience, those of us who are true worshipers of God and worship him in spirit and truth, understand what that is. Amen. Because we have been forewarned. Amen. And prophecy tells us that. And that's one thing that I love about the Lord. He came to fulfill what was already written. His purpose was not to do away with anything that God has purposed. And the thing that I'm excited about in ministering this week's message is the need to look at how demonic surrogacy is manifesting itself in every area of our civilization. And so yesterday when he gave me this, as I was praying about how to continue, because I really had my little script ready for what I felt he wanted me to minister. But one thing I love about God is when you're ministering by the Spirit, He will quicken you and unction you and give you utterance for what needs to be said in the moment. So I really feel this is a rhema word that he's given me for this hour. And one thing I also love about the Lord, that everything that he did spoke to humanity, which will speak to culture. It will speak to generations and about generations, as Jesus always did in speaking about the present generation, rebuking the generations and generations to come. And the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to what? Set the captives free. Set the captives free, to set at liberty those that are bound. And anyone who is called to preach the gospel, that is exactly what we should be doing. The message of the gospel is to set the captives free. And that message should be preached in love, and it should be preached by the spirit of truth, according to how and what was already spoken, which takes an anointing and the mantle and the spirit of God to bring that word to pass, which is his responsibility. He said, "My word will not return to me void, but it prosper until you send it." So I wanted to say that because this message is not about attacking or speaking of academia, culture, materialism, ancestry in a negative way. It's clearly to show how the enemy is using those things in this present day to, again, replace, make obsolete, destroy the foundation of that which God has created, which is the soul, the soul. And so I'm just going to share with you some things the Lord gave me as it relates to how to identify that in this time, in this hour. And he gave it to me by way of speaking to me about soul ties and the need to sever soul ties. And he was specific by saying parental soul ties. And that means soul ties that are generational, ancestral, but more importantly, ties, ungodly demonic ties that are being formed by way of academic ancestry teachings. And I'm going to explain that in a minute because that's what I'm seeing in this generation, what God has identified to me and things that I am experiencing even in my own life with this generation and what they're being taught and the spirit behind it. Now, The thing that I love about the Lord, him giving this message about what manifests itself, in this civilization, as he said, he that be without chastisement is a bastard. And so God does not have bastard children. And the word of God says every person and soul he receives, he scrounges it. And he says, the word of God says that no chastisement seems good at the time, but at the end, when it is completed, it would yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So chastisement is not just to punish someone, a child, or it's used for the purpose of self-discipline to punish you, or it's to bring self-discipline, to bring law and order, to produce fruit, which is life and goodness and temperance and understanding and all that good stuff, based on the fruits of the Spirit. So I wanted to say that when we are chastised, and that chastisement is supposed to come from our parents, so it's supposed to come from a home, and unfortunately, that is not happening in the home, in the family, which is the foundation of where everything is birthed from. Family is being replaced, according to what the Holy Spirit is ministering to me about, is being replaced by academic and educators. This generation being influenced by culture and materialism, fame, which is really robbing them of their essence, of who they are and their identity, and is really taking the place of parents, the parents and grandparents, which is usually single women who are head of the household. Now, one thing the Lord was speaking to me about, and him giving me and sharing with me about the importance of fulfilling his will and the original plan for your life, which is individualized, is that in him declaring and giving us adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father, we have adoption now by way of reconciliation, we understand that, as he said, God never came to substitute. God doesn't do substitutes. He doesn't do surrogacy. When he said, who is my mother and my father? Who is my sister and my brother? He said, he that doeth the will of my father, the same is my mother, my father, sister, and brother. Not different, the same. He also says, in Psalms 27, David declared that when my mother and father forsook me, the Lord would take me up. So in the Lord taking me up, when you have been forsaken by your original, your birth parents, and the Lord becomes you allow the Lord to become your spiritual parent, spiritual father, and blessed mother, your spiritual mother, their purpose is to fulfill the role that they gave your original parents for whatever reason could not or did not fulfill that role. So again, God speaks of the same, not different. And what's happening in this hour with this ungodly demonic surrogacy is that it's being governed by academic intellectualism, which is rooted in demonic ambition, which is frankly really arrogant, which is what I'm experiencing. I experience when I see these young people who are being quote-unquote educated, they have an arrogance and an intellectualism about them that really insults the parents. Now, before I get into the definition of soul tie, I just want to just share this with you because that's one of the things he was saying to me. And again, let me say this. I'm not bashing education or academic because, again, when I became a counselor, I became a counselor to become skilled at the profession I chose to serve in the position of serving. It was not to become educated to feel privileged or to make me feel I was better than someone else. Academia is not meant to be used as a way to make one feel righteous. And that's the thing that I'm seeing with what the Lord has shown me with what he called academic ancestry, because it's being tied to the ancestors, which why he gave me Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. And hopefully I'll be able to get into Ezekiel 18 chapter 4 I close this broadcast, because that's what he gave me, because a lot of this stuff that is rooted in a ungodly, even demonic ambition and arrogance, it really breathes the spirit of pride, which is Leviathan. And again, there's nothing wrong with being having pride in who you are and being proud of your accomplishments and one's accomplishments. I was very proud of myself and finishing school to become a counselor. And the thing about that was, again, it was for service. It was not for me to that didn't give me my identity. So education is personalized based on the individual and the purpose and why they choose to be educated and why. And, of course, that can change because I'm a little girl counselor. I'm inspired to do something else now at this time in my life. And what's important is, though, although I remember and I honor the educators and the professors that taught me, they're not tied to my soul. They're not tied to my life. And that the academia that I learned, the education that I received, the skills, the training that I needed based on what I chose to do with my life was that of my own. It wasn't tied to an ideology or a doctrine based on anything that had to do with the past that is relevant in the future. But again, how God chooses to unveil his will for my life is his choice, because again, I surrender to his will, not mine. Now, the thing that he was saying to me about education, again, is, again, that is necessary for the individual who choose to become educated and skilled for their own purpose in fulfilling their life goals. It is not to be used in a way to use up authority of someone else or feel that I should be given preferential treatment because I'm educated or I'm degreed. And one of the things that I notice when I see a lot of these photo ops of children of this generation with the certain educators or those who promote education is that you never see the parents. And that was one of the big questions I asked, where are the parents? Where are the grandparents? Where are they? And it's like, okay, the focus is on the children and their mind. And it's like, even in my life, I'm like, okay, I'm not important. I don't have a say. You know, you can't respect what I'm saying to you as your flesh and blood, as the matriarch, as your parent or grandparent. I don't have a voice because of what you're learning. You choose to learn. I'm supposed to be obsolete. You know, and that's the thing the Lord began to give me answers to, quickly give me answers to, as I began to seek him about what I'm experiencing today, as it relates to his will and how this world is changing and how I am to help bring about healing and peace and being one to be the repair of the breach, the restored path to dwell in. Now, one of the things I'm going to do quickly is go to Soul Ties, because in giving me this, he was saying that soul ties are not just ties that are formed based on intimacy. And soul ties are formed in many different ways. One being, as I should share with you, academically and ancestral. And me acknowledging soul ties and understanding soul ties is because I've had soul ties in my life that had to be broken. And the most common way that soul ties are formed is through sexual relationships, intimacy. And one thing about soul ties and the need to even be broken, a soul tie can be easily broken, more easily broken, shall I say, if the tie has been made legitimately. And what I mean by that is that if two people get married and they decide to, and they're in agreement of divorcing, that tie can be easily more severed because they're in agreement, because the tie was godly. Versus a tie that's made in an ungodly way and in a demonic way by way of someone being deceived or misled to believe that someone is something that they're not, or being immature or fragile in their growth, where they, by way of immaturity, become tied to someone. So a soul tie is any relationship that draws two people together. And, of course, the most important tie is one that's godly. So spiritual ties and soul ties are meant to be godly, not ungodly, but they happen. And me having my children out of wedlock caused me to have a tie to their fathers, which is now manifesting to this day. And soul ties are hard enough to be broken when you come from a family that's you're born in a family that's taken the oath of marriage. But to have a soul tie with someone that you never married, that's harder to break. So the purpose of soul ties should be godly. These soul ties are physically, emotionally, spiritually, and as the Lord gave me, now academically and ancestrally. And that comes from, again, those ties are being formed by way of culture, by way of in the desire and being ambition for economic success. And one of the things that I love about the Lord and what he says about setting us free in every area of our life, he said that I, the Lord thy God, give you the power to get wealth. I, the Lord, that God gives you the power to get wealth. And as he was ministering this to me, he was really sharing with me about the mark of the beast, that in Revelation, that many would not be able to eat unless they took the mark of the beast. That's a tie. That's saying you have to, unless you, you know, for you to have your basic needs met, you have to bow, you have to conform. And so soul ties have taken on a much deeper meaning in this time. And it's really important for you to be able to identify how the enemy is using things of this world to accomplish that goal, which is basically to take your soul to hell. And again, Jesus came to redeem our soul. And one of the things that is important to remember and know is that academic can never take the place of the blood of Jesus. And that's with anything. That's just not with any ideology, any thing that you are promoting or replacing outside of God's judgment cannot take the place of the blood of Jesus in the cross of Calvary. Education does not make us righteous. Does not make you righteous. So the thing that he was saying to me is that the point of the message of the gospel and of the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, is really important. Now, let me go back to my message real quick because I have a few minutes left. And I want to get to what he was saying to me regarding, again, soul ties, because everything that I'm sharing with you, again, I was challenged with and I've overcome. And praying that certain soul ties that I've had, certain ties that my children had, even soul ties that exist now, even with my grandchildren, certain grandchildren, has to be broken. My son, who is now divorced, I knew from day one in meeting the person he wanted to marry, or who he married, was not a godly union. I knew that. Now, despite me advising him on that, he still married her. And for the 8 years they were married, the marriage was tumultuous. It had a lot of problems. I was attacked because it was an ungodly union. And the thing about that is when young people, anyone, make a tie or tie their soul to someone and bind themselves to one for materialism, that is going to cause problems, because if you're not marrying for love and it's not to truly honor the oath and the covenant of marriage the way it was instituted, there's going to be problems. So the thing that he was sharing with me about the ungodly soul ties that people make and form is a lot of times they're done out of superficial relationships. Due to sexual sin. This generation is influenced by culture and materialism. Oh, we're going to be the power couple. You know, we're getting married to be the power couple, and it's to promote a lifestyle, not to honor God and coming together as a covenant to manifest a family, a godly family, to produce fruit, to reproduce and procreate, to manifest his holiness and his godliness. And so he was saying to me that when that happens and children are born under these ungodly covenants, that's what you have. You have ungodly soul ties, and those ties have to be broken. And now those ties and those soul ties need to be broken in the children who were birthed from these ungodly marriages. Now, one of the things that he also was speaking to me about soul ties is when they come by way of parents, what shall I say, young parents, who, children who are in disobedience to their parents. Because one of the things that's important in understanding protection and safety and honor your mother and father is that so you can have protection. And oftentimes when our children come across strangers and predators and them not honoring what they were taught and not honoring the instructions they're given by their parents, and if the parents are not watchful and not aware of what their children are partaking of, and one thing that came to mind is a lot of these video games. A lot of these video games are tying our children's spirit and soul up, and what they represent. A lot of them are really, really violent, and our children manifest that aggression through those video games. So you have to be careful in any portal that's open that will try to bind your children's time, their soul, their mental state, their psychological state, because that is also what the enemy is using in academia and socialism and culture, is to tie and bind their psychological makeup, their psychological growth, which is tied to their emotions. Now, if these demonic soul ties forged by parents out of their ignorance, out of their deception or being deceived, are not broken, it can still, not only the soul, the children's soul, in the essence of their soul, but their identity and their purity. And the thing about a lot of children who grew up or who are being taught by these surrogates is that they, again, are being replaced by those who parents are putting before their children. And that's why it's so important to have the truth of God's word, to have the word of God as a mirror on how to raise our children, how we're just supposed to live. Because when we don't have guides and we don't have the truth, which is based on justice and fairness, you get lawlessness. And people become a law unto themselves. So one of the things that's important is to remember that when you identify that you have a soul tie, be it sexual, be it psychological, be it financial, that you identify it quickly and ask the Lord to show you and what He will show you what those ties are so they can be broken. Because the longer soul ties exist, the stronger it gets and the deeper it becomes. Now, one of the things I'm going to go down to real quickly is what the Lord was ministering to me about and reminded me of what I went through and Him breaking soul ties of my life before I gave my heart to Christ, being a single mother. Because I became pregnant with my first child at 15, my second, I believe, close to 17. So I was a teen mom. I was a teen mom and was out on my own at that time. And there was a lot for me to grasp and learn. A lot of it was by trial and error. Trial and error. Parenting should not be by trial and error. Yes, every parent has to learn how to develop that relationship with their child on their own, but to learn it in a way where you're not developed enough as a parent, and your child is just kind of left out there based on your discovery, it's not good. It's not good. So that's what He was sharing with me about my life and how my life, how He had to save me to save my children, and how his word was very important in me doing that, and those yokes being destroyed, and those generational curses that within my family, how they are now broken by with a new nature. Now, I'm going to quickly touch on Ezekiel 18, and I'm going to come back later in the week and tomorrow, and I'm going to finish this up in part two. So I'm going to go to Ezekiel 18 because when he gave me Ezekiel 18, one thing he was saying to me is that sin is the problem. Sin is the problem. And that soul ties are genuinely based on individuality. Unfortunately, nowadays, we see generations being tied together by the soul by way of these ungodly demonic influences. And Ezekiel 18 is where we see what God was speaking to Ezekiel and how God deals justly with individuals. And it's important to remember that because our life, we live our life as individuals. We live our life according to God's word based on his will for our life. And in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, we see the word of the Lord that came to him again saying, "What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel?" In essence, the proverb they was using was false, which says the fathers eat sour grapes, they sin, but the children's teeth are set on edge. And in verse 3, we see God addressing that where he says, "As I live, says the Lord, you are certainly not going to use this proverb as an excuse in Israel anymore." And the danger about demonic surrogacies and in doctrine and teaching and academics or whatever it is the enemy is trying to use to justify one's own behavior. He's saying that they can't use that anymore because now we're without excuse. And the thing about having a conscience, having a God conscience, is that it should convict us. It should point out our rights and our wrongs. But if a person's conscience is burned up or people are left to use things in the past, especially if it's false, he says, not only is it a lie, but it's an excuse. And he said that Israel will not be able to use that anymore. And again, as I often say, and I will continue to say, that sin is the problem. And we cannot educate the sin away. We cannot culturalize the sin away. We can't blame each other or someone else for our sins. We should not be held accountable for the sins of our fathers and our mothers. That's why it's important to be born again of the water and the spirit. That's why it's so important to confess your sins. And God reaches us at a time in our life where he know we can be held accountable. He said, "He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but he that forsakes his sins and confesses shall find mercy." Amen. So I'm going to end here, and I'm going to come back on tomorrow, and I'm going to finish this up and really get into Ezekiel 18 chapter and what he's saying. Because, again, the soul that sinned it shall die. And we want to make sure that we're living today. Amen. So I bless you. I thank you so much for being here with yours truly, Marie. And I will be back tomorrow to conclude part two of the severing of soul ties, parental soul ties. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening. Again, happy Father's Day and blessings to all brides. Peace, blessings, and much love. I will speak with you soon. Take care.